Noah had a tough time. How many of you remember Bill Cosby's story about Noah? Raise your hands. Okay, that's most of us. There's some of you out there who are just not going to admit it because it was Bill Cosby. Well, it is one of the funniest things I ever heard was Bill Cosby's depiction of Noah. And yet I feel like he touched on a part of Noah that is very important, and that is the humanity of Noah that sometimes doesn't come across in Scripture. And I remember it being almost formative of my faith when God encounters Noah in the middle of life one day. Noah! Me? Yes, you. What did I do? Nothing. I want you to build an ark. An ark? What's an ark? Well, never mind, just build it. Why? Because there's going to be a flood. It's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. It's going to wipe out all life on the earth. You and your children are going to be the only ones left. Why? How? Why don't you just let it rain for 3 days and three nights and wait for the sewers to back up? Thought that was a great piece right there. And God and Noah go on and have this discussion. And Noah is so human like us. When God calls us to do something, if you're like me, and I suspect you are, the first thing you do is say, why? God called me into the ministry. God and I had a long, long talk about this. My daddy was so sure I was going to go into business school and to become a tycoon of industry. And when I told him I was going to go into the ministry, he didn't speak to me for 3 or 4 days. I had gone from being the promise of family prosperity to being a liability he would have to subsidize for the rest of his life. He used to give me Brooks Brothers shirts and ties for Christmas. Say, if you'd gone into business like I told you to, you could afford these things. And I said, that's why I went into the ministry, Dad, so you could give them to me. That didn't go over very well either. My prayerful discussion with God was, yes, I would go into the ministry. I would agree to that, but I did not want to be a parish minister. I wanted to be something different. I felt a call to go into chaplaincy, which at that time was developing as a specialty. And God said, fine, go on to seminary. So I went to seminary, got my advanced degree in pastoral care and counseling in institutions. And then, as I'm interviewing with all of these hospitals, something came out called diagnostic-related groups, which means you can't stay in the hospital for 2 weeks after a tonsillectomy. You have to go on your merry way. And the gravy train for hospitals came to an abrupt end. And the first thing they did was to axe all of the chaplain's departments. And I went, after much prayer, to my clinical supervisor, Dr. Bill Oglesby. And I said, Bill, what am I going to do? The hospitals are closing down the chaplaincy departments. He said, Mackenzie, you've got a choice. I said, I don't see it. He said, yes, you do. Go into the parish or starve. Obviously, I did not starve. The parish fed me well. God and I have had many discussions over the years about how I have been handled. And I spent altogether 38 years in parish ministry. And then my last four or five, I actually got to do what I wanted to do to begin with. I got to be a trauma chaplain at a teaching hospital in Savannah. And I was supremely happy. And God said, I told you you'd get there. That sparked another conversation between me and God. But you know, throughout it all, there's only one thing that has made me unhappy, and that is my own expectations. My own expectations. When they don't match up with God's design, bad things happen. The people in Noah's time had expectations that everything they were doing was hunky-dory, no matter that it went counter to the design of God for how human life can and should be lived. And I'm sure that there were prophets and there were priests in that time, but they didn't listen. And so all of a sudden, God finds this fellow out in the middle of the desert, Noah, and says, I've got a plan for you. And Noah says, why? And God says, never mind why. Just build the ark. That's the way God encounters our lives sometimes, our lives and our expectations. And throughout the salvation history, God is always coming to interact with God's people, and the first thing we always ask is, why? And you know, that's not really a valid question when you're dealing with the Almighty. Asking why tends to border on arrogance, but somehow God forgives us and reshapes us and moves on. And we come to our gospel lesson for today, where Jesus all of a sudden shows up preaching, and John the Baptist, who was his predecessor, has been arrested. And Jesus is coming and saying, now, the kingdom of God has come near. The time is fulfilled. Repent and believe the good news. When he says repent, it really means to turn. Not necessarily 180 degrees. Sometimes only a little is needed to find ourselves back on the paths that God intends for us. But it does require changing our orientation. And the hardest part for us is that it requires changing our expectations and allowing our expectations and our hopes to be transformed by God into those of the kingdom. I said Wednesday night, expectations are anger held in escrow more often than not. Expectations are anger held in escrow more often than not. Because when our expectations are not met, then we come into conflict with God's will for our lives. Repent, to turn, means to be open to the possibility that God may be in control. Now, that is something that we give lip service to just about every Sunday and just about every day of our lives. But trusting God, allowing him to inform our expectations and our hopes, is very, very difficult. And I am by no means a shining example of how human life can and should be lived. But I do admit to the struggle daily to keep my expectations in line with God's will. And God often tells me you know, you really need to lower your expectations of everybody and everything around you. You know what the problem is? We tend to gauge our success as a child of God on our perceptions of others. Well, I will never be as good as him. I will never be as polished as her. I'll never have the intellectual capacities of that person. And I remember telling my two boys, each at a different time, God made you the way you are. God's expectations of you are different from those he has of those other people. I don't have the athletic abilities of an NFL quarterback. Not a single one of them. That's humbling. I don't have the intellectual abilities of Albert Einstein, which is probably a good thing because I wouldn't know what to do with it. I don't have the riches of a Bill Gates. And that's okay too. That's a lot of responsibility. I can only be the best Ken McKenzie that God has designed me to be. And part of coming to peace with ourselves is realizing that God made each and every one of us differently, and God has different expectations and designs for each and every one of us. And guess what? They are tailor-made. I had a funeral I had to do a few weeks back, and I knew about a week or so ahead that my friend was going to pass on, and I knew I would be expected to come and officiate the service in Atlanta. So I went to my closet, and I got out all three suits I have left from my career. It was a humbling experience. I mean, devastating. Not a single one of them fit. And I won't go into the gory details, but I went to Joseph Bank and I had my previous measurements with me and picked up a suit off the rack. I said, "This should fit." The guy just kind of laughed. He said, "You now have what's called the great granddad bod." I said, "What in the world is that?" He said, "You had the dad bod and you just kept adding on." Oh, heavenly days, my expectations had never gotten me to where I am now. We'd gone up two suit sizes. I told him I need this in about a week. He said, "I think we can do it." He said, "I don't think Omar the tent maker is too busy right now." And I got the suit back. They sent it to me in the mail, and I took it out. And my first thought was, they sent me a parachute. What is this? And I put it on, and dadgummit, it fit. And I went down, and I did the service, and we talked with people afterwards, had a good time at the reception. And people said, "Nice looking suit you've got there." I said, "Thank you so much." They said, did you buy it by the yard?" And another fellow said, "Well, it's great looking on you. We just have to see it in shifts." I have some mean friends, by the way, in case you didn't know. God did not call me to be an athlete. God did not call me to be a great intellect. God didn't call me to have massive skills for much of anything other than maybe running my mouth. But that's what I'm doing. It's what God called me to do. God didn't grant me great riches, but God did grant me compassion. God didn't grant me genius, but God granted me a good imagination. God did not grant me the abilities to change the world all around, but sometimes I feel like I'm able to change the world a bit right here. God's expectations of me are fully different from his expectations of you, and that's a good thing. You don't want to be dressed by Omar, the tent maker. But God has something in mind. God has expectations of you and of me, and that will fulfill us and fulfill our time on earth. The fulfillment of God in each and every one of us, tailor-made for God's will for us. Let us pray. Help us to remember, O Lord, that you have called us to live in this moment. In this moment in the history of creation, you have designed us, and you have your expectations of us. Help us not to invest our expectations into ourselves, but rather into you, so that you may shape them and change them and call us to live as your children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.